Who's this guy who could run commerce for Trump? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The future of jobs and the economy depends in part on who is United States Commerce Secretary in the next administration. The Trump transition is indicating they have tapped a private equity investor, Wilbur Ross, a man with experience in moving jobs to and fro across the American border. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace is here. Lewis, how did Mr. Ross make his billions?
Well, he started out on Wall Street specializing in bankruptcy, and then he really made a lot of money with his own firm. The polite term for what it does is distressed assets. The easier to understand term is vulture investing. So they scoop up floundering companies in tough industries like steel, coal, textiles, consolidate those into larger companies, often cutting jobs, sometimes going head to head with unions in the process, and then they sell those new companies. And he's made a lot of money that way. So some people see him as having helped save whole industries like steel in the U.S. Others associate him with cutting thousands of union jobs.
The Secretary of Commerce represents business interests in the cabinet and oversees trade enforcement. What about Wilbur Ross's views on trade?
Well, he has said he supports Trump's idea of threatening to slap tariffs on companies that move jobs overseas. The companies he's been a part of restructuring have often benefited from some of that exact stuff, offshoring, opening factories with lower wages in China and Guatemala. He supports Trump also on the idea of renegotiating some trade deals and on cutting business taxes and reducing regulation.
All right, Lewis, thank you. In a few minutes, Morning Edition, we'll have more on the Trump expected pick for Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, a former Goldman Sachser. Now, details are tweet-sized this morning, but the Indianapolis Star is reporting that about 1,000 manufacturing jobs at the heating and air conditioning company Carrier could stay in Indiana instead of moving to Mexico as had been planned. President-elect Trump and his soon-to-be vice president, Indiana Governor Pence, are due in Indianapolis tomorrow for an announcement. Another emerging beat as the new administration takes shape is about the international business relationships, some say entanglements, of the soon-to-be 45th president. The Trump administration will make decisions large and small that could directly affect Trump family business revenues. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports from New York.
Let's start simple. Presidents travel a lot, and perhaps the next one will stay in hotels with his name on them, along with his entourage of staffers and security. Big tab. Legal experts say that probably wouldn't run afoul of rules if his hotels charge a fair rate, but there's more to consider in the unusual situation of President-elect Trump. Meredith McGeehee is policy chief at Issue One, a government accountability nonprofit.
Even if you're paying reasonable market rates, there are choices being made about who gets the business and who doesn't. And if Trump administration folks were staying in a Trump hotel, that's money in the pocket of the Trump business.
Also, if his family flies on Trump planes while the Secret Service protects them, the government would compensate the company for agents' airfare. But all that travel stuff is potentially small change when you consider the levers of power the Trump administration will control. Here's how Washington University law professor Kathleen Clark frames it up.
Whether or not, as president, President-elect Trump will use his position to influence how federal agencies treat him and treat his businesses.
He'll be able to make appointments to the National Labor Relations Board, which recently ruled against his Vegas hotel in a union dispute. He'll be over the General Services Administration, basically the landlord for his Washington hotel. The IRS, the EPA, all make decisions with massive consequences for Trump businesses. Dealing with these conflicts isn't simple. Rob Walker is the former chief counsel of the Senate Ethics Committee, now an attorney at Wiley Ryan.
Well, I think that's what used to be called the $64,000 question, but that sum is pretty low in the context of the discussion we're having.
President-elect Trump told the New York Times that the president can't have a conflict of interest. That may be accurate in a very narrow technical sense, but it's out of line with what all recent presidents did. And there are concerns conservatives are thinking about, too. Unless he addresses the conflicts, whenever Trump makes a move consistent with conservative principles but also good for his business, it runs the risk of looking like opportunism, not good policy. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Let's do the live numbers here. The FTSE index in London is up 0.9%. This even though a big bank there, RBS, failed a financial stress test run by the UK Central Bank. Dow and S&P futures are up 0.2%.
Codebreaker is back with a brand new season. This time around, a new question. Can it save us? We are asking this simple question about a different kind of technology every single week. You can subscribe now on iTunes.
It's a start, not the end, but testing gets underway today for a vaccine that might, if it works, stop the spread of HIV/AIDS. Scientists, drug makers, philanthropists, and the governments of the U.S. and South Africa are launching this human trial. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Among HIV/AIDS researchers worldwide, there's a growing sense of the possible. First came mixed results with a vaccine trial in Thailand 7 years ago. Since then, scientists have fought hard to gain knowledge, says Dr. Ronald Coleman, who directs the Penn Center for AIDS Research.
There really has been a tremendous amount that's been learned in the field to help us get closer to understanding what needs to be done to make an effective vaccine.
That understanding of the virus will be put to the test this week as doctors begin administering the new vaccine to some 5,500 men and women in South Africa. Results are expected sometime in 2020, but Dr. Rip Ballou with GlaxoSmithKline, one of the drug makers involved with the trial, says people agree on the goal.
Everybody who has looked at this thinks that a vaccine that has at least 50% efficacy and lasts for at least 2 years is something worth pursuing.
While there are treatments that help people with HIV/AIDS, researchers agree a vaccine is what's needed if there's any hope to eradicate this epidemic. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And we're watching developments today at the OPEC meeting in Vienna, where consensus about an oil production cut or not has been shifting like the tides. Right now, market players are hanging on some signals of an agreement on this coming out of Iranian sources, and the price of crude in New York is up 7.2%. It's at $48.50 on the New York Mercantile Exchange at the moment. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.